Good afternoon again, folks. Welcome back. I have the great pleasure to introduce my colleague, Father Milutin Janjic, who is a priest of the Serbian Orthodox Church, yes, who has come to St. Ignatius 3 years ago now.
No,
2 years ago?
almost 2 years ago.
Okay, to teach missiology, in which he has a doctorate from the GTU in Berkeley. He spent several years pastoring in the United States, as well as at a Greek Orthodox parish in Santa Cruz, California. And understand, just looking at your laptop there, God loves surfers. So you're absolutely here as well. Listen, absolutely. So would you like me to say anything else about your calling?
No, nothing else. It's more than
Okay, I'll turn the floor over to you then.
enough. Okay. Thank you, Grant. Good afternoon, everybody. As you could hear from Grant, I was employed. I'm not sure the word employed, but I came with the idea to teach missiology. However, I didn't have any class teaching missiology yet. So, logos as golos, which is actually the Greek, the Russian word or the Slavic word for the voice. Understanding of word in the liturgical context, according to Father Alexander Schmemann. Today's presentation proceeds from my interest in Father Alexander's unique catechetical, also known as a missionary. As you may know, Father Schmemann for 30 years used the study of the Radio Liberty in New York in order to introduce Orthodoxy 101 to people in the Soviet Union, a country where he never been. Since 1953, all up to the last days of his life, Father Schmemann every Sunday broadcasted his talks, introducing the basic Christian doctrines to his audience. At that time, using the radio waves to speak about the faith to people thousands of miles away was a quite unique task. Almost none of the listeners in the Soviet Union he ever met personally, and only thing that he shared with his audience was the Russian language and the Russian culture in which this language was steeped. Through my work on Father Schmemann's broadcasting sermons, I started to realize that the concept of the words played an important role for Father Schmemann. These sermons were not simply teaching of Orthodoxy 101, but they also became a platform for his listeners to become participants in a personal experience of sacredness of the words. Through his sermons, Father Schmemann emphasized the significance of experiencing an encounter with God does not conclude in itself. The importance of the encounter continues in two directions, internal to further spiritual growth and external through sharing of this experience. Spoken words transmitted through the voice in echo carry within themselves inspirational seeds for their listeners. These proposed conclusions inspired me to search more deeply in this topic, focusing on the context where Father Schmemann felt most comfortable, the sacrament of the liturgy. In searching for an answer on how Father Alexander understands the concept of the words, the starting point was his work, which publication in English came posthumously in 1987, The Eucharist, as well as his most known publication, For the Life of the World, which is actually revised and extended edition of his work, Sacraments and Orthodoxy, issued in 1965. As he wrote himself in introductions of both works, they came out as reflections based on his own religious experience especially from its liturgical aspects. One works cover all parts of the central sacrament of the Eastern Christian Church, including his interpretation of the meaning and role of words in their sensuality and physicality. Father Cyril Hovorun, our dear colleague and for me inspirational figure, in his latest book, Eastern Christianity in its Text, writes that from the earliest days of the Church, Christians percepted the concept of the words through a triangle circulation based on the relationship between God and people. According to this early Christian perception, there are three types of words. First is directed from God to people through his revelation, written into the texts of the Old and New Testament. The second type are words of human, written or spoken toward God and both the individual and communal way. And finally, the third type represents Christians' experiences of their relationship with God shared with their fellow Christians. This ancient perception of the words finds its place in Father Alexander's. In his comments on the liturgy, one can find that all three types of words appears in this sacrament. The liturgy constitutes of the readings of the New Testament. Liturgical prayers, an entire liturgical action, serves as a collective witness of personal religious experiences, with the primary intention to invite others to participate in this sacred gathering. And the whole idea can be based on Philip's words to Nathanael, "Come and see," John 1:46. In one of Father Schmemann's comments about the central point of Eucharist, he says, "Meanwhile, all earthly evidence we possess points to the fact that the gathering or assembly, synaxis, was always considered the first and basic act of the Eucharist." Just pointing to the concept of three words in Father Schmemann's comments on the sacrament of the Eucharist, according to all three types receive their full affirmation, it is relevant to ask for the following question. How does Father Alexander understand the nature and forms of the words, since we find the lineage to the triangle circulation between divine revelation, human experience of God, and his or her internal necessity to witness this experience? The triangular perception of the words does not appear only in Father Alexander's work, but it has been an integral part of Christian tradition of the East, starting from the earliest days of the Church, especially in the fields of Christology, more particularly doctrines concerning the incarnation of Christ, as well as through a comparative approach between theology of the incarnation and the act of creation. Earliest works where the topic of the words was mentioned in the first apology of Justin Martyr, also known as philosopher, even though the concept of the words has been the integral part of the patristic writings, it did not occupy patristic thought as an independent subject, where focus would be on the nature and forms of the words. However, with the rise of the Russian religious philosophy, the concept of the words entered into Russian religious thought, especially at the edge of the end of the 19th and the first part of the 20th centuries, primarily focusing on the relationship between word and reality. However, over the time, this topic gradually lost its attractions in the philosophical academic circles. Nevertheless, it continued to lead to liturgical and spiritual praxis. writing with a focus on his spiritual experience, especially through the liturgical aspect, Father Alexander, consciously or unconsciously, returns to the concept of the words. Extracting this concept from the sacrament of the Eucharist and implementing it in the construction of his missionary vision, where the concept of the words creates the foundation of his missionary approach. In his 30 years long weekly sermons, Father Schmemann indisputably covers various themes. Some of them are clearly theological. Some of them cover other areas of human's life, such as culture in its broader sense, or science and its ties with religion. However, in all his sermons, reader or listener realize that the basis is on the catechetical teaching, or simply I'm talking about Orthodoxy 101. The primary source for his sermons proceeds from the sacrament of Eucharist, which is seen as the sacred and salvation action, movement. This sacred movement, as its integral and operative elements, has words, since they transmit the entire sacramental act, revealing the eternal truth. In this context of words as barriers of sacramental action, one can interpret Father Schmemann's comment that transmitting the role of the life and the rule of faith is actually an organic and essential part of Christian tradition. The words as the barriers of the sacramental life carry the same role of the transmitting, revealing, witnessing of the experiential sacramental life through educational, which is catechetical or missionary aspect of the Church. About the same bearing role of the words in the liturgy and Orthodoxy 101 to transmit the truth, Father Alexander Schmemann says the following. It is certainly of importance to us that this catechesis was liturgical in its character. The explanation of Scripture, the unfolding of the meaning of the creed, church doctrine, the teaching of morality, in other words, the entire content of Christian education, was transmitted in direction connected with liturgical services, partly even during such services. For Father Schmemann, words are barriers of this entire sacred movement, which organically ties liturgy with church mission, great commandment, where the truth is unfolded through words. Through all these readings from the Bible and all liturgical texts, prayers, which therefore, as Father Schmemann writes, need to be pronounced aloud as it was ancient practice of the Church. Summarizing Father Schmemann's emphasis on the non-static and transmitting form of the words in the liturgical and catechetical contexts, we will focus on the relational and experiential nature of the words that gives to the whole topic more sensual, holistic, and ontological approach, remaining focused on our main task to interpret Father Alexander's understanding of the words. As Father Schmemann writes, the question may seem a naive one, but one cannot really act without knowing the meaning not only of action, but of the life itself in the name of which one acts. Returning to the triangular concept of the words, where the two-dimensional relationship, vertical and horizontal, occupies the main place, I am turning from the form to the nature of the word. A relationship implies more than one participant, and consequently, there is an experience that proceeds from this relationship. Verbal expression of this relationship occurs through the words. Giving the words this transmitting role, the words can be seen as entities infused with cosmic force that comes from greater power in the Christian context, God, in his relationship with the human. However, in this active and personal relationship between God and human, or between two or more persons, the words are not just entities that live in themselves, fulfilling only their transmitting role. Instead, this transmitting role is seen as an aspect of the word's external form that appears simultaneously within the constitution of the word in its wholeness. To the relationship between God and human, the truth reveals itself from God's side, and the human's experience of this truth becomes verbally expressible. Through personal verbalization of this relational experience with God, this experience through God's revelations to a human has been infused and becomes a constituting part of the word. Simply, the word is a verbal expression of the relational experience and product of the synergic work of God and a human. Based on above mentioned statement, I argue that Father Schmemann's emphasis on a relational experience in the spiritual life of a believer proceeds from his understanding of the words as the vessels of the revelation of God's truth and verbal expression of human experience of this divine human salvific relationship. Stephen Pax Leonard, in his article dedicated to the Orthodox understanding of words, writes that in the heart of the Orthodox teaching, especially among some of the influential Russian Orthodox thinkers, such as Vasily Rozanov, who died in 1919, or Father Sergei Bulgakov, lies the world-reality relations. He continues saying that they stated that the truth can only be revealed and given to a person through experience. And he says, language is a web of experience, and these personal experiences should be at the center of language study and not on the distinct periphery. Ethnography should surely be about experiencing the reality of things and not just defining things. Bulgakov reminds us that for Protestantism, the ministry of the word is meaning only. But Orthodoxy understands the power of the word in this ministry forms, and this ministry forms the basis of its sacramental life. Words for these Orthodox thinkers were roots of the cosmic self-expression, and word symbols are interconnected with the elements of the cosmos itself. They refer to a connection between word, spirituality, and the sacred, and its connection was not characterized by bipolarity. They believe that if we no longer perceived words as simply shells for entities, and instead as symbols living entities and barriers of energy, then we would be embraced richer, more holistic, and multidimensional ideology of language. As we've seen from Father Schmemann's writing, The central place of God-human relationship is in the participation of a human in the sacramental Eucharistic life of the Church, where entire human search for the truth receives its conclusion, giving a human a role of homo adorans, who through his acts of blessings of God offers to God the gift which God gave to him to care, the creation. Through this prism of relational experience on which Father Schmemann created his understanding of the words, we can read the following statement of him. As Christians, we believe that he who is the truth about God and man gives for a taste of his incarnation in all more fragmentary truths. We believe as well that Christ is present in any seeker after truth. Simon Weil has said that through a person may return as fast as he can run away from Christ. It is told that he considers true, he runs in fact straight into arms of Christ. Since Father Schmemann continuously underlined that the goal of the sacrament of Eucharist is the entrance of a human into unity with God, through which the members of the Church experience the entire joy of this salvific unity, consequently, they are called to witness this joy in the world. This aim becomes for the Church's central act, central liturgia, the action that directly proceeds from the Eucharist, and this action inevitably implies the words as the constitutive part of this experience. About these natural and inseparable ties between the sacrament of the Eucharist and personal witness, which is mission, in the world, Father Schmemann writes, "The proclamation of the word is a sacramental act per excellence because it is transforming act. It transforms the human words of gospel into the word of God and the manifestation of the kingdom. And it transforms the man who hears the word into the receptacle of the word and the temple of spirit. This is why the reading and the preaching of the gospel in the Orthodox Church is liturgical act, an integral and essential part of the sacrament. It is heard as word, as the word of God, and it received in the spirit that is in the Church, which is the life of the word and its growth in the world." This statement helps us to come to the conclusion for Father Schmemann, that personal experience of the zenith of the divine human unity offered to the sacrament of the Eucharist can be expressed only through verbalization, and therefore the liturgy serves as the source and example of verbal expression of all other personal experiences that can be witnessed through various verbal expressions, such as talk, prose, or poetry, that definitely can affect and or inspire others. Contemplating on the following and the concluding statement of Father Schmemann, at least for this conference, gives me a pioneering hope, since this research is in its initial stage, that I am on a good path to understand why Father Schmemann concurred the hopelessness of being alone in the studio speaking to strangers across the globe every Sunday for more than 30 years, and why he was so passionately impressed with literature, especially the Russian poetry, giving it an inevitable role in the divine human synergic work of salvation. Here is this concluding quotation. The word presupposes the sacrament in its fulfillment. For in the sacrament, Christ the word becomes our life. The word assembles the Church for his incarnation in her. In separation from the word, the sacrament is in danger of being perceived as magic, and without the sacrament, the world is in danger of being reduced to doctrine. And finally, it is precisely to the sacrament that the word is interpreted. For the interpretation of the word is always witness to the fact that the word has become our life. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. The sacrament is his witness, and therefore in it lies the source, the beginning, and the foundation of the expression and comprehension of the word, the source and creation of theology. Thank you.
Latine, thank you very much. As you can imagine, a homiletics professor is really enjoying your paper. as you were giving your paper, I had a thought, and it was a lot of the emphasis, obviously, in your paper in terms of the words that Schmend was sharing, more broadly speaking. It's easy to emphasize the power of the word as a transmission, right? You say this, and what, how does it affect the people you're speaking to? I remember very vividly when I didn't grow up a Christian, and I started attending services in the Divine Liturgy in an Orthodox church. And I remember that we come to the part where we would all sing the creed. And I remember thinking to myself, I gotta be careful about this, because if I keep doing this, I'm actually gonna believe this stuff. Right. So I was wondering if maybe you would share just a little bit, or I don't know if you thought about this. Obviously, the word has power in terms of transmissive, like I say something, it affects the target. But how does it affect the speaker?
Yeah, actually, thank you, Padre. My whole work that I presented today here actually came from my really interest in his relationship with his listeners in the Soviet Union that he never met. And I was really impressed that somebody would go every Sunday to do this for 30 years without, you know, thinking that who is going to listen, if anybody is going to listen. Is this, again, and then the words, like, it's like I'm just being like a word, like we know about this form of the word, transmitted. But then more and deeper, like what the word, like the nature of the word itself, if it reveals the truth, like where is this infusion from? And this is the part that equally impressed, that I say, like vertically and horizontally, it does. If we vertically, it's going on a speaker, on the speaker side, his own process of metanoia, his own process of going through this, like a thinking, living through this, experiencing this, and it affects them. So how I started, it was my dissertation was about the special small group of the Russian intelligentsia in the 1970s who actually were underground. Among them was Tatiana Gorichova. And Tatiana Gorichova, speaking about the war, said that she, first time in her life, experienced the power of the war on herself, when she has a pamphlet of the Our Father as a yoga practice tool. Now she didn't even know that Our Father is a part of the Bible. She started to use that as a mantra. She says five times, and then suddenly I felt that I'm totally different, that I have to go to the church. And this is like how full conversion was momentum conversion. And then she just went to the church, and then spoke to somebody of forgiveness, and then the whole story goes on. Still, you can see that what she experienced, obviously, it's not the end, because now she has this period of becoming a Christian writer, and her process of conversion continues so on. So in this way, conversion, this is why I don't want to introduce to public word convert, because in especially in American context, when they say I'm a convert to Orthodoxy, we are all converts to the Orthodoxy, because we are constantly going through the process of metanoia, and we are all constantly converting, and we are all converts, constantly converts. In this, through this prism, I see and understand that Father Schmemann was doing this for those people in Soviet Union, but at the same time, he was leaving what he believes in, what he experienced, because constantly he speaks about experience. By the end, we can know that actually his sermons were successful in one way, because there was another man who was at the time far away from him, is Solzhenitsyn, who was listening to these talks and actually helped him to go through the process of conversion. But it's another story now. Here is obviously the idea of conversion. If you put that through the topic that I spoke today, it equally affects those who experience and those with whom he shares his experience.
Very cool.
May I?
You have a question?
Yes.
We all share an office. We have the same goals. We can ask the questions whenever I want. But now, while you were speaking, and now I'm rereading your abstract, and I was thinking, you mentioned that he was influenced by some Russian philosophers fascinated by the concept of word and spoken word and so on and so forth. But have you found any connections between his understanding or his fascination, actually, maybe better to say that, with voice and spoken word, so connection between him and his views and maybe neo-patristic, and then in that sense, return to the fathers, you know, because in some patristic works, because it reminds me about early apologists, for example, they spoke about, they emphasize this spoken and unspoken logos of the God. And Origen also speaks about that, and Maximus the Confessor is fascinated about. And this is the time when all of these are rediscovered again. And, you know, so is it just Russian religious philosophers, or could it maybe?
No, but even in the Russian religious philosophy, if you see that in Bulgakov, for example, the idea was, okay, what you see in the early patristic writings is still about this focus on the transmitting form of the word. They didn't go too much in this nature of the word itself, in this context that I'm talking about. Because for me, I'm coming now from more literature perspective, because Schmemann, when I was reading, especially his sermons and his fascinations with the Russian poetry, especially with Pushkin and all of this, giving the idea to Russian literature, the salvific role that participates in the salvation of the world, etc. And then even, you know, his impression with Brodsky, that he was he was going to listen to Brodsky's poems and listen to it, and then fascination with the voice. I think that for Schmemann, it's not so much that the core, I'm trying to extract that from his writings. And I don't see that connections was so much on the patristics for that part. It's more his fascination with literature, especially with poetry.
With Russian tradition.
Maybe. In the Russian, because he knew literature all well, but he could recite all of these poems from the famous Russian poets, from Pushkin to Brodsky, he was here. And,